Welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. I'm Kara, joined by Saya and Rowan, your mystical guides. Whether you're a seasoned witch or a curious seeker, join us to explore spellcraft, herbal remedies, and more. Let's embrace the enchantment, unlock secrets, and discover the magic within. Your magical journey starts here. Welcome back, casters. It is
welcome,
Kara and Rowan again. Saya is still on sabbatical. That's the best way to put it, right?
Yeah. She's on leave.
She's on leave. So today we're going to be talking about major astrological events in the spring.
Seems like it was difficult for you to say.
It was very difficult, and I practiced it too.
Astrological events.
Major astrological events in spring. So that means from when the sun entered Aries on the 20th, which was a few days ago, like a week ago, last week, this past week, whatever.
Yes.
Until
it is currently the 24th, so as yes. We're recording this, so 4 days ago.
Like 4 days ago. So from when the sun moved into Aries 4 days ago until the sun moves into Cancer on June 20th-ish. So that is the span of time that we're going to be talking about. It's a really long span of time, but there's
quarter
only like,
of a year.
Oh yeah, that is fair. But there's only like a couple of like really big heavy hitter things that are happening this spring that's going to be like really intense, which we're going to talk like kind of more focused on, and that is the eclipse season.
Which everybody's probably heard of, the fact that there's going to be these eclipses.
Yeah. And most people know, like, I think everybody's, like, really in with the solar eclipse. Because it's going to be, it's a total solar eclipse, which is...
It's like, a big deal.
And I'll explain why it's a big deal, too, when we get there. But first thing is I'm going to give you dates. So if you are wanting to keep these dates on hand, get a pen and a paper, because I'm going to fastball some big dates, okay? Are
pen,
we ready?
Paper, yes.
Pen, paper. Tell me when you're ready.
You're good, go.
Okay. So, as we know, the sun entered Aries on March 19th, 20th-ish area. On April 19th, the sun enters into Taurus. On May 20th, the sun enters into Gemini, which is our three major sun ingresses for spring. Our three new moons of spring, April 8th is the new moon in Aries, which is our solar eclipse. May 8th is the new moon in Taurus, and June 6th is the new moon in Gemini. Our full moons is March 25th, which is tomorrow, is our full moon in Libra, which is our lunar eclipse, which is the start of the eclipse season.
Fun.
Yep. April 24th is the full moon in Scorpio. And May 23rd is the full moon in Sagittarius, which if you notice, full moons are always the opposite sign as the season it's in. So Taurus is opposite of Scorpio. Aries is opposite as Libra, and Gemini is opposite as Sagittarius. So, fun fact, if you want to know what sign the full moon is in, if you know the sign the sun is in, you'll know opposite is the full moon. And the new moon is always the same sign as the sun is in. So, that's just a quick little tricky trick for everybody to remember these things. Okay, so here are some... I've been having, like, this really bad cough I cannot get rid of since I've been sick. It will not go away. It's, like, a little tickle here, and it hurts so bad. So I apologize for coughing.
Totally understand that feeling, because I've had a bad cough since I had COVID back in September. It will not go away, no matter what I do.
I can't get rid of it. I don't think I had COVID, though. I think I had the flu, but it's weird. I can't get rid of this cough. Anyways.
Well, there's also that other respiratory disease thing that's going around, too, on top of the COVID and everything.
Yeah. Which went through the school, so it's probably was that. Okay. So, here's a couple more dates. This one's probably the big scary dates that everybody dreads every year, even though it happens three times a year, and that is Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde in Aries. And it will retrograde from April 1st through the 25th. So, and it'll spend this entire time in retrograde in Aries. So it's not moving to a different sign. So if you look at the house that your Aries is in, will show you where that communication, reflection, and rejuvenation kind of stuff is going to happen for you. Okay.
Makes sense.
And Pluto. Pluto retrogrades on May 2nd through October 12th, and it will move from Aquarius back into Capricorn for that duration, and then we'll move back into Aquarius after it goes out of retrograde. So we're going to get this small little window where Pluto is going to go back into Capricorn and let us reevaluate what we had learned from its time in Capricorn, and kind of reevaluate what we've learned so far in Aquarius to kind of judge like how the rest of Pluto's transit in Aquarius is going to be. But also remember that Pluto is in retrograde for like over half of our lives. So we feel Pluto retrograde. We know Pluto retrograde. It's not going to affect you too much. All right. Now, these are all dates of major of our personal planets and a couple, and I think just one actually, and one particular asteroid when it moves into different signs. So if that is something that you want to know, like those big transit times for these planets, then make sure you take these down, because these are the ones that most affect us, because they're our personal planets.
Okay.
And this particular asteroid is pretty important, especially right now for me. I've been looking really into this asteroid because it is like the ritual asteroid, and like the hearth, like the home hearth ritual kind of asteroid. So which is Vesta, and she moves into Cancer on March 23rd. Vesta moves into Cancer. April 4th, Venus enters Aries, which will be a fun transit. April 29th, Venus enters Taurus, so it won't be in Aries for very long. April 30th, Mars enters Aries.
M's.
May. Yeah, the M's. They're very similar. May 15th, Mercury enters Taurus. May 23rd, Venus enters Gemini. May 25th, Jupiter enters Gemini. June 3rd, Mercury enters Gemini. So we're going to have those three in Gemini for a duration together.
And lots of Gemini.
Yeah, which is right around Gemini season anyways. So the sun will also be in Gemini during that time. So that's going to be a pretty fun kamikaze happening.
Lots of Gemini energy during Gemini season.
Yeah, like that's like the love and relationship energy in Gemini, the expansion energy in Gemini, and the communication energy in Gemini, all on top of the sun in Gemini for that time. That's going to be a really fun time.
Just a lot going on in May.
Yeah. May into the beginning part of June, for sure. June 8th, Mars enters Taurus. June 16th, Venus moves into Cancer. June 17th, Mercury enters Cancer. And then June 19th, Vesta enters Leo. So Vesta is going to be chilling pretty well in Cancer for the majority of the spring season, because June 19th is the last day of spring. So June 20th is the first day of summer. So Vesta moving into Leo right before summer starts, which will be really fun. Those are our major dates. Questions, comments, concerns so far. Before we get into the eclipse stuff, which is going to be a huge majority chunk of the episode, because it is a big deal. It is probably the biggest deal of the spring season. And it literally happens for one day. Like 2 weeks, basically. It lasts for 2 weeks, but it is the biggest season. Like the biggest thing happening in the spring for multiple reasons.
Its energy is going to be very impactful.
Hugely impactful, yes. So before we go into that, I want to talk about some energies that you might be feeling during each of the individual zodiac seasons, and then a little bit of what you could focus on each new moon and each full moon. And then we will get into those eclipses because that's going to take forever.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about Aries season. We're in Aries right now. And we'll be feeling Aries for another couple weeks. So you might have already started feeling some effects of Aries, but remember from the last time that we talked about astrology, I'm going to talk just about Aries energy. Things, how it's going to impact you personally is going to be based off of your houses. So if you need a refresher on what house means what, go back, check out that last astrology episode we did. I think it was 2 episodes ago. Yeah.
I think. Sounds right.
Yeah. I think it was 2 episodes ago. So Aries is all about new beginnings, going after what you want. You're going to probably feel pretty inspired to set your new intention and goal. This is the new year, new me time. This is the new year's resolution time. We're seeing some ambition, like energy, like ambition and anger, assertiveness, determination, some high energy, some force, fresh starts, full speed, independence, leadership, new beginnings, passion, that warrior energy, fire element is going to be pretty strong during Aries. So some self-care ideas specifically for Aries. And you could do this if you are in Aries or just during Aries season. We're looking at working out to burn the excess energy off because he creates that really heavy energy. It gives us a lot of extra. We got to push that out in the best ways to really work up a sweat. Starting something new. Taking a risk and focusing on yourself. Aries is very selfish. I mean, like, it's true. Aries is very selfish. It rules the first house, which is the house of self. So he's pretty selfish, and which is perfectly fine because we need that time to really focus on ourselves. And what better time to focus on ourselves than the beginning of spring?
So do something for you.
Do something for yourself. You. Yes.
The self-care is real right now.
Very real right now. Starting to get into, like, those warmer weather times. So, like, maybe your self-care is going outside, going for a walk. But Aries really likes that physical self-care. So, like, anything that you can work up sweat with or moving your body with, that's really Aries self-care right there. So,
hint, some fun music and dance.
Yeah, dance. Oh my God. Yes. If your goal is to set a new like workout regime or something like that, this is the perfect time to do it. Because not only is it a new beginning, but it's also a very active, passionate sign. So that is what we're looking at with Aries season. All right.
If you're looking for inspiration for things to do for that, you can go back to our Elemental series and just look at what we put in fire.
Huh. Yeah. You're really hitting fire. So anything that connects you to fire is a good thing to do during Aries season. And like something that I will say that spring is fire, earth, and air. Those are the three major elements that are happening in the springtime, which really makes sense to me because of what's happening in the springtime. All right. So Taurus season. It really does, doesn't it? So
yeah.
Taurus season is our time. It's our sensual pleasure seeking sign. And it's all about getting grounded and enjoyment and finding stability. You might have a tendency to revel more than usual in your sensual delights and comforts. So like things that feel good, taste good, smell good. You may want to lay outside in the sunshine, feel grass, smell the roses, enjoy something tasty. That's all Taurus. Taurus loves the finer things that feel good, taste good, smell good.
Just makes me think of like it always makes me think of like a quote unquote French picnic. So like
Taurus season?
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. No, that's a perfect, like...
Going outside, really nice blanket, glass of wine, fancy cheese.
Some nice, like, tasty cakes and, like, treats like that. Like, very light and airy. Like, that, like we talked about last time with, like, the lemon, the lavender, like, strawberries. Things like that. Very Taurus. I love Taurus season because it's not only my moon sign, but it's also my rising sign. So Taurus season is like my me time because it's also my first house. So it is my selfish time.
Totally makes sense.
It's also ruled by Venus. So Taurus is ruled by Venus. So when I think of Taurus season, I think of goddess work too. So like...
Sense?
Yeah, so I'm thinking like real big goddess energy, real big feminine, like... I'm going to do me and you can go fuck yourself energy. That is my way of thinking of Taurus.
So it's like we're going from like the very personal self-care into more of your like almost sensual self-care of just fuck everybody else. Like, just yeah, this is like, for me and I don't care what you think.
Yeah, it's still a very physical like nature, but in a more... Instead of, like, physical active, it's more physical, like, homey, maybe? Physical in a way of, like, how you nurture yourself, how you, like, take care of your body, and like, in the more, like, lotions and baths and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So a couple of keywords that we can think about for Taurus. We're thinking about beauty, endurance, indulgence, love, material things, money, patience, pleasure, protection, security, sensuality, and strength. Got that heavy earth energy happening with Taurus too. Some self-care things is listening to your body, finishing up a project, cultivate your self-worth, slow down, and play in a garden. So very much like that French picnic, like,
yeah, French, like, European style picnic,
very rococo.
That, yeah,
very rococo. And our last season of spring is Gemini season. It is the season my son was born, so he is a Gemini son. And Gemini. Gemini is our playful and curious sign. It is creative and it's all about communication and knowledge. It, as it's curious, right? So it curious and playful about finding knowledge and communicating. You're more common to feel looser, more flexible than other times. You tend to be a little bit more social during Gemini season. This is a great time for parties, prioritizing time with friends, sharing ideas that you're passionate about, which is really fun because Gemini season lasts until the middle of June and it starts in the middle of May. And what happens during that time? End of the school year, beginning of end like the
year, summer. Graduations.
Very, very social. We got Memorial Day here in the U.S., which is a huge deal, at least where I live, like around where I'm from. Because we have the longest running Memorial Day parade in the country, in my hometown. And it is huge. Every surrounding county comes. And I honestly, it is a fun time. When I lived there, in order to walk at graduation, you had to walk in the Memorial Day parade. In your cap and
gown. Goodness.
Because graduation is the day after Memorial Day every year. Every year. And you have to walk. Which... They still make you walk. You still have to be in the parade in order to graduate, but they put the seniors on floats now instead of walking. And you know how long that parade route is? How many blisters I had on my feet because we had to wear what we were going to wear to graduation in the parade too. My feet were blistered by the end of it.
If I had grown up in that area, if I had to do that, I would not have worn the same shoes that I was going to wear to the graduation. They could yell at me all they wanted to. I would not have done it because screw that.
So I wore flats anyways, but they were not the most comfortable flats. So they dug into my heels the whole time and they dug into the tops of my feet. I should have wore flip-flops. Like, not even flip-flops. I should have wore different sandals, honestly, because it is so hot. And, Like, you're walking in this tight little group of people, and everybody wants you to stop and take pictures. Honestly, it's a really nice memory. I'm not going to lie. It's a really nice memory.
Tennis shoes. Screw it.
More tennis shoes, yeah. Like, the boys did. The boys got to wear comfortable shoes.
Or, like, if they were so uptight about, like, oh, you have to wear, like, nicer shoes or whatever. Shit, I was a band kid. I would have worn my band shoes.
Yeah. And which the thing is, like, our band kids that were graduating walked with the band. Like, they were in their caps and gown playing their instruments.
Heck yes! I'm so into that. But do you know what? This is a random thing. Do you know what the name of band shoes are? Like, the shoes that you have to wear with your uniform? So you would actually get them at, like, the music store where you would get your instrument. That's where you would get your band shoes. You wouldn't get them from, like, an actual shoe place. You got them at the music store. They're called Dinkles.
Dinkles. I love that. I absolutely love that.
I honestly kind of wonder now if my parents still have my Dinkles.
That's fantastic. I love that. I love your name.
But they're called Dinkles.
I love it.
They are not the most comfortable shoes in the world, but it's also one of those things, like, you'll wear them for 5 years if you include, like, middle school. So you kind of get used to it.
That's true. All right. That deeper lesson of Gemini is that you have the power to adapt to your reality and adapt your reality to suit your needs, which I think is really powerful. So some keywords that we see for Gemini is adaptability, change, cleverness, communication, creativity, intelligence, open-minded, relationships, talking, the mind, social butterfly, and duality, because the twins, right? Yeah. A couple of self-care things for Gemini: reading a book, catching up with friends, share information and messages, tap into a creative outlet, and meditate. And Geminis are also very much into journaling. Because of the communication and the writing, they're very, very into journaling. So one of the, like, so if you are looking for, like, a spiritual practice or something and you have heavy Gemini, you might really benefit from journaling.
Makes sense.
But it's also very air too. Air tends to be one that, like, any kind of air sign likes journaling as well. Gemini more so. So let's talk about our Aries season moons. Okay. So the first, well, our first Aries season moon is our full moon in Libra, which is tomorrow. The eclipse starts at about 1 a.m. and lasts until about 5:30, which I'll talk more about later. But the energy of a full moon in Libra in general, it's a reminder for a need of balance during Aries season. Aries is all about the self. Libra is all about others and how we relate to others. So we want to take time to celebrate beauty, relationships, connecting with our sacred people, and really reflecting on balance and harmony in that time of very selfish energy. Kind of, it reminds us to step back and be like, okay, but we also need to remember others too.
Makes sense. You don't want to focus on yourself so much that it starts upsetting the people around you.
Yeah. Everything needs balance. Okay, so our other Aries moon is the new moon in Aries, which is our solar eclipse that's happening. And again, we'll talk more about that in a minute. This is the most potent new moon for setting intentions. It is our first new moon of the astrological season, and it kind of sets the tone for the entire astrological season when it comes to following that intention setting process that the moon cycle kind of has. So the main, like, intention that it's really good for setting is intentions for the year in general, like the whole year ahead. Like, what is that big, big intention that you want to have throughout the year? So our Taurus moons, the first Taurus season moon that we will have is the full moon in Scorpio on April 24th. And this is a reminder that although not everything in life is quite as easy as Taurus wants it to be, we do have power to transform our pain and shadows into beauty. So this is a reminder that, yes, we're focusing all those beautiful things and of ourselves and our sensual nature and stuff like that. But we have to remember that there is shadow to the light, and we need to find beauty in that. It's a good time to find beauty in those shadows. Great time for shadow work. It's a good
time. You're saying is to do your shadow work.
Do your shadow work. So whereas Taurus is about pleasure, Scorpio is about potency and finding magic in the darkest parts of light. And life and light. So we want to embody the archetype of the witch during the full moon in Scorpio, because Scorpio is the witch of the zodiac. So we want to practice magic.
Do the magic.
And witchcraft. Yeah, we want to be witches. We want to practice magic. Divination and shadow work. Those are the big things for the full moon in Scorpio.
Sounds like I should pull out my different cards.
Yeah.
My tarot, my multiple decks of oracle cards.
Absolutely. Our second moon in Taurus season, big moon, there's multiple different moons, but these are the big ones, is May 8th, which is our new moon in Taurus. And this is the time for pleasure and total embodiment of our goals. It's here to help receive the rewards of hard work. What you might want to set intentions for during this new moon is how to receive more of what you truly desire, and creating space for more ease and pleasure in your life. So Gemini season, something I forgot to mention about Gemini season, it is our season of transition from spring to summer, because it's a mutable sign, and our mutable signs are the signs at the end of a season that helps us transition. So it kind of has both energies of summer and spring happening in it, because we're starting to move to those summer energies. But it's kind of our last chance to finalize plans and set things in motion before we head into summertime. So it's a good time to check in with yourself and make sure that you understand how to feel nurtured and safe in your communication and in just your overall self before we move into summertime. Now, our first moon of Gemini is the full moon in Sagittarius on May 23rd. And this is a reminder that we have the wisdom we truly need inside of ourselves, where Gemini embodies the love of research and wonderment. Sagittarius embodies that deep inner knowing of truth. So it's perfect time to just go out in the wild and be one with yourself and nature. But not in like a frilly, like springtime, like skipping through a meadow. Like go in the forest and find your inner like swamp witch kind of thing. Like find that wild witch inside of you.
Find the animal inside yourself and let that come out.
Yeah. Sagittarius is very much the embodiment of...
just did, but...
Sagittarius is the embodiment of the wild witch archetype too, because like they're a traveler. They're like, they like that knowledge, that travel, that wisdom, that expansion of that, but in a very wild, fiery aspect, because Sagittarius is fire. So it's a good time to just go out and growl at squirrels.
Squirrel?
Squirrel. Urgh. All right. The new moon in Gemini is the last new moon of spring. And it is on June 6th. And it is a time for socializing and gathering information. It's all about communication. So this time is great to have some honest conversations and share your feelings with others. On it also, really good time to journal. Like, if you're going to journal at any new moon, this is the new moon to journal at. And you'd probably feel more called to set intentions about allowing more space for flexibility in your life. So that is the energies of the spring season in general, overall. Which is fun. Like, it's a nice ramp up of energy before we get into like those really that fiery, watery sense of summer. So let's talk about eclipses, because that is the big thing that the next 2 weeks are really going to focus on, from today when we're recording on the 24th of March until April 9th. Because the eclipse is on April 8th. So we're going to see those energies happening from that span of time. Which, for those of you who are wanting to watch the total solar eclipse, unfortunately, it is during the week.
Of course it is. Yes. Of course it is.
It is a Monday. So, and I'll talk about like timing and everything here in a second. So overall, with eclipse, we have two eclipse seasons a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And whether or not we see the eclipse in the U.S. or where we're at is just dependent on different angles and stuff like that. So it's not every spring we're going to see it or every fall we're going to see it, because the last time we had a solar eclipse that we could see was in August 2017. Mm-hmm. So it's just different depending on how the angles line up, because it's a very specific angle to determine when those things are going to happen. They're not always going to happen on the same range of dates either, but we know that during spring season we will have an eclipse season, and during the fall season we will have an eclipse season. That is,
whether you see it or not, it's those energies are still going to be happening.
Yeah. So eclipses supercharge energies of the full or the new moon. So eclipses only happen on the new or full moon, depending. And when it comes to the moon in general, it really, the moon scientifically affects the water on Earth, which means it also affects the water in our bodies, right? Because we are made of water, which is why the moon affects us, right? Because it pushes and pulls the tides of the water in our bodies. So when eclipses happen, they ramp up those energies. They really supercharge them. So we tend to have those people who already have a good connection with their emotions, they're going to feel more deeply. You might be a lot more emotional during this time. If you tend to not really show emotion, you will probably show emotion. So anything, like, however you show emotion is going to be ramped up, because the moon is our emotional self. So the lunar eclipse, which is what's happening tomorrow as of recording, is a time of reset of emotional patterns. So this is when our emotional patterns are going to get reset. And then the solar eclipse on April 8th is a time to reset our energetic patterns. So that kind of duality of emotional versus energetic, like, self. No matter the type of eclipse.
The energy reset.
Right.
I've been so tired lately.
Right. No matter the eclipse, no matter the time of the year the eclipse is, it will always bring change to our lives in some way or another. Because the eclipse helps us see in a different light. And if we want to look at it in general, because the eclipse either covers the sun or it covers the moon, it makes the light look different so we can see things in a different, you see how that like kind of connection can happen. But it's also really important that you rest during eclipse season and reflect during eclipse season on how your energies are changing, because you don't want to get really into anything during eclipse season because it is going to be exhausting. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that right now. The next 2 weeks are going to be exhausting for everybody. And it what really sucks is my spring break starts next Friday. And I go back to work on April 8th on the solar eclipse. So, so like, my entire spring break is just going to be, like, I don't know if it's, like, sad that I'm going to be, like, really drained energetically because of the eclipse season, or if it's a good thing that I'm going to be on break that entire time so that I can really reset my energy.
Like, so that you can actually take the time to do the resting and reflecting and...
Yeah.
Not have to deal with students and work and...
Yeah. But that lunar, that solar eclipse on April 8th, we get, when we get back to work on April 8th, we get back to school, that is going to be such a crazy day. I already know that quite a few people that I'm working with took the day off to go to the actual 100% range in Ohio. We'll still see it.
Yeah.
Because we're in the 90th. Percent. So we'll see it at 90%. So it won't completely get dark, but it'll get a little darker. Like, it won't go completely dark, but it will get pretty dark, and you still need the special glasses to watch it.
Yes, nobody just look directly at the sun. Make sure that you're using the special glasses, or isn't there like a hack everywhere with boxes or whatever?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways you can look online to if you can't purchase the glasses, but the glasses are $1. Like, honestly, like, if you're going to go and make a box and everything...
Just get the glasses.
So the materials to get the box, if you don't already have... Like, to make the box, if you don't already have it, just go buy the glasses. Like, if you still have your glasses from 2017, like...
That works, too.
I should have kept mine from 2017. I did not. I really wish I would have.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made all over the place. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the lunar eclipse. I'm not going to go super in depth about the lunar eclipse because by the time this episode goes up, it'll have already passed.
Yeah, it's already going to have happened.
Yeah, but for us, you and I, it's a good thing for us to know because it's happening in the morning. So the lunar eclipse happens when the moon is full, and the Earth is positioned between the moon and the sun, making the Earth's shadow fall on the moon. So on the 25th, which is in the morning, it'll be a penumbral eclipse, which means that the moon travels through the faint outer part of the Earth's shadow, so it's not going to completely cover it, but it'll look a little bit dark, like a little bit darker than a full moon normally does, and it might have like a gradient look to it at the peak. Sometimes during a partial, a penumbral, like any kind of lunar eclipse, the moon will look red, which is where the term blood moon comes from, is because of lunar eclipses. So this particular eclipse will start at 1 a.m. Eastern and go until 5:30 a.m. Eastern on the 25th. So I don't know about you, but I will not be awake.
I will be asleep. I have to work in the morning. I can't.
Same. So, but it is a penumbral, so we're not really going to see like any kind of coverage or anything like that. It's not as big as what the solar eclipse is going to be.
Fair.
So, solar eclipse. I love that we're getting... This is actually the biggest astrological event to happen this entire year. Like, 100%. This solar eclipse is the biggest event to happen this year, which is surprising. Like, because I was, like, looking. I was like, there's got to be something else really significant happening. Yeah, we're having eclipses in the fall, but not as big as this one. So,
this is the big deal. Solar eclipse.
This is a big deal. A solar eclipse happens when the moon is... in, like, it's a new moon, and the sun, moon, and Earth are exactly aligned with each other. Like, perfectly aligned with each other. Which causes us to see the moon pass perfectly in front of the sun. So a total solar eclipse makes the entire sky go dark for the duration of it at its peak, as opposed to an annular eclipse, which is what happened last fall. And I think, like... it went like in a different direction. So like Texas, Nevada, and California, they are the ones who saw. But it was an annular, which is the ring of fire, which it covers it, but you still have like that bright ring of fire around it. It makes it a little bit darker, but not like we will go from day to night at a total solar eclipse. And back in ancient times, they didn't know what that was. So it was such a negative omen because, oh my God, the sun went dark. Day turned to night, right? Like, it was a huge deal back in ancient times. Yeah, so
the gods are angry.
That is what they thought. They thought the gods were angry, that it was a bad omen, which is why we have, it is why any eclipse is like a omen to change because of that thought too. Because I mean, like, to be fair though, if you were in ancient times and you didn't know what anything was and you were still learning like what these celestial events meant, and the day turned to night in the middle of the freaking day, like you probably freak out, right? Like,
yeah, it would be scary.
It would be terrifying.
Have no way to know when it's going to happen. It just suddenly happens and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah.
They had no idea because it's total solar eclipses don't happen every year, right? And I think that there is a way to figure out when the next total solar eclipse is going to happen and for each area and stuff like that. But back then they didn't know. They didn't know the pattern. Like, we know the pattern, but because of years and years of scientific research. So this total solar eclipse on the 8th is the last one the U.S. will see until August 2044. That is why it's such a big eclipse. So damn. The U.S. will not see another a visible total solar eclipse in the U.S. for 20 years after this one. Like,
we'll be so old.
Don't say that. And if you remember, the last time we had a total solar eclipse in the U.S. that we were able to see was in August of 2017. So it's been a few years since the last one we had. In this path, but the next time it's gonna happen is not for another 20 years. So like, that's why the energy is so big. That's why this is such a big event, is because of how long until the next one is gonna happen. And like, it's crazy.
Big deal.
Yes. So for you to know what exact time your area is going to have it, there are tons of sites online that you can type in your like zip code or the biggest nearest city, and it'll tell you the time it starts, the time it ends, and when it peaks for that area. And it'll tell you what percentile you're in and how much of the sun will be covered. If you are in the path of totality, it'll go completely dark. And I think like it'll start in Texas around like 1:30-ish their time, and make it up to Canada by like 4 o'clock-ish their time. So like, that is the path that it's going. And that's the path of totality. You and I are in the 90th percentile, so it'll look pretty completely covered. We might have like maybe a little sliver, but it is pretty well going to be covered for us, which is fantastic.
It's going to get pretty dark.
It's going to get pretty dark. We're not going to get total darkness, but it's going to get dark. So it'll last about 2 hours, roughly. Like, the entirety of the thing is going to last about 2 hours. And it does depend on where you're at. So I looked up the closest times, the times for us, which for the closest city times that they gave me was Pittsburgh. So there we go. That gives us both of ours. The timeline for Pittsburgh, so if you're in that area, this is the timeline for you. About 1:59 p.m. is when it'll start. The peak when it will be completely covered or almost covered, like our total coverage, will be at 3:16. So about 3:16 is when you'll want to stop, take a look, and watch. So before 3:16, a little bit after 3:16, that's the peak. That's when it's going to be covered. And it will be completely over at 4:29. So,
for me, it works pretty great for me because I'm supposed to have a break at work at 3 o'clock. It's only a 10-minute break, but
they'll probably let you stay out long enough to watch it. Probably because it's such a big deal. The schools in the path of totality in all of those states are closed that day.
Damn.
Yeah, that's how big of a deal this is. Because in the path of totality, it will go completely dark, and it is very dangerous to be out on the road during that time. Like, so everything is like shut down that day. They're also going to have an influx of tourists because of people going to see the actual path of totality.
Sense.
Unfortunately, like, I just can't take the day off from work to go. Like, yes, it's only like, I think it's like a 2-hour drive ish, 2-3 hour drive to get to the path of totality from where we're at. But like, I can't take the day off. I don't have the days. So
close we are, I feel like they should close schools for that day too. Like, why not?
Or at least let us out early, because we get out of school. So I actually talked to my principal Friday before I left about it, because me and the other art teacher were talking about it and everything, and I stopped him. I was like, listen, the total solar eclipse is on the 8th. It'll be during a school day. It'll be at the end of the school day. It starts about 2 o'clock. If we can we take the kids out to watch it? And he said, well, how would we do that? Because they need special glasses. They said, you can buy glasses at bulk on Amazon, man. But with the peak, the best time to watch being at 3:16, that is after the kids leave, which sucks because the buses leave at 2:45, which means that unless they're going to hold
the kids, will be on the buses.
Yeah, but even though we're not going to be completely dark, unless they hold the buses until after totality, or they send the kids home early that day, like, that might be a little dangerous. Even though we're not going to get completely dark. But it's going to be peak end of school day. That's when it's happening, is the end of the school day. I will stay at work until it's over. I will watch at work. I will go to the football field if I have to. I don't even care. Like, I will stay at work until it's over.
From the football field is probably a great place to be, because yeah, you won't have, like, any tree coverage or anything. You'll have full view of the sky.
Yep. So we did talk to our principal about it. But I'll probably end up telling him on Monday, be like, hey, when we were talking about it, I looked up the peak time for it. It's at 3:30. Like, it was 3:16. So the kids will already be gone. So that might not be a good thing, but also might want to talk to the board and have them do an early release that day. Like, if they haven't already thought about it. Because,
or all, like, just not, since it's yeah, the day that you're coming back from spring break, why would you want to do an early release the day after spring break? Nobody's going to pay attention to shit.
Yeah. But also, just give us that extra day. Just give us that extra day.
Like,
of course, it's not going to happen. Personally, I will pick up a pack of glasses and I will stay at work until after it's over, because I don't want to be driving when it's happening. Because I would be driving when it's happening. That is my drive. Like, that's when I leave work. Is 3 o'clock. So, like, I don't want to be driving. I want to watch it, because we're not going to be able to see it again for years. So I want to watch it.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's such a big event. And it's really upsetting that, like, when the time of it is, that the schools didn't at least think about an early release that day. Because it's not like it's in the middle of the school day to where we could take the kids out as, like, a educational experience, because they'll be going home at that time. Like, it's the end of the school day. They'll be on their buses. Like, if I were,
because not totality, superintendent, I probably just didn't think about it.
Yeah, but we're at the 90%. We're still pretty close to the path of totality. Like, that, I feel like up to the 85% totality range, they should have just, like, thought about that.
Well, you also need to remember that you're in West Virginia, so.
Yeah. Well, the last time we had the total solar eclipse, so this is why I remember the last total solar eclipse so much, is because total solar eclipse that happened in 2017 was my first day of student teaching. My very first day of student teaching. It was an in-service day for faculty, which meant we had no students. We did an active shooter drill, which meant they actually shot at us with cap guns. It was a real active shooter drill.
I remember you talking about this.
Calling you guys crying.
Yeah.
It was the most traumatic first day of student teaching I could have ever thought I would have, honestly. But after, like, our goal was to get outside. Like, that was our goal during the active shooter training, was to get outside. And we got outside and ended the active shooter training just in time to watch the eclipse.
Nice.
So I think they planned it that way specifically, so all of us would be outside, and they had glasses. They handed out glasses to everybody and everything. So that made it a little bit better. But it was terrifying. Like, I would have liked it to have not have started with an active shooter training.
Talk about a wild way to start your student teaching journey.
My teaching journey in general, right? Like, oh my God.
I feel like that's a good way to end up, like, scaring people, potential teachers, out of teaching.
Me and the three other student teachers that were at that school, this was the only school that did it. They did it there first, and they saw how traumatic it was for everybody, and they changed it for the next school. They did not do it again. They never did it again. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Major Astrological. So we hope you enjoyed it. We hope it was beneficial to you. We hope that even if you don't follow things astrologically, you got something out of this episode, even if it was just about the eclipses. We do highly recommend you try to watch the eclipse if you are in the path of totality. But NASA and a bunch of other sites do live stream these events. So if you are not in an area that will be in the path that can see it, you can always live stream it.
True.
Which is fun too. Like, it's not the same, but it's still fun. I live streamed last year's annual eclipse, and me and Baby G watched it. And he was like, the sun's disappearing! I was like, yeah! It was a nice little learning experience.
That's adorable.
It was great. He loved it. He had a great time. And that was a Ring of Fire eclipse, too. So, like, he loved it. It was a great time. But, yeah. Follow us on the things. All the things. This is the part that we suck at.
Okay, so follow us on Instagram at the Witchy Spellcast, as well as on Threads and X, aka Twitter.
TikTok.
You can follow each of TikTok. Oh,
yeah, we're on TikTok.
I forgot that Saya made a TikTok. Also at the Witchy Spellcast. And then you follow us each individually, only on Instagram, at Car Darkthorn, at The Witchy Saya, and myself, at Rowan.Mistright.
All right.
Is that all the things? I think that's all the things.
I think that's all the things. That's all the things. At this point, you guys know all the things.
If you go to at The Witchy Spellcast, I believe everything's on a link tree.
I might have to update the link tree. I don't think the new social medias are linked on the link tree unless Saya changed the link tree and updated it. I don't know. That's something that we might have to talk to her about. Because I forgot about having to update the link tree, honestly.
As our social media manager, this is why we're bad at this.
Yeah. Saya is the social media manager. We're just here. I'd say we're just, I would say I'm just the pretty face, but you guys don't see our faces.
That's fair.
Well, again, we hope you enjoy the episode. We hope you catch us next time with, what's our next one?
I don't know.
Hearth and Home. Hearth and Home for the springtime, which was one that everybody really wanted, that and herbalism. So Hearth and Home is next. For springtime Hearth and Home, which is going to be fun. And
we're going to have to get Plant Girl on here for the herbalism.
Yes, we will. And we will talk to her when we have our game night on Friday.
Yeah.
Anywho's. So
anywho's.
We hope you enjoy. We hope you enjoy. Hopefully Saya's back with us next time. I don't know. We'll ask her Saya, if you're listening to this, tell us when you're going to be back.
We'll ask during game night.
We'll ask during game night when Saya's going to be back. And I'm actually really excited for the Hearth and Home episode. I love doing Hearth and Home. And I will say that the Hearth and Home episodes that we've had are kind of our higher listening
episodes.
Yeah. Except for the Fae episodes.
That's fair. Everybody's interested.
Those are pretty high too. Like our Fae episode is still number one. Like if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it. It's got some creepy distorted audio in it that was not there when we were recording, but we caught in the editing process.
I was not in that episode, but it is a great listen.
It's a good listen. All right. Well, we will catch you next time. We hope you enjoy all of the astrological events happening, and we hope you do get a chance, if you can, to watch this eclipse, because it's going to be a good time and not going to happen again for 20 years. And hopefully you don't get too overwhelmed emotionally with eclipse season.
And if you do, at least now you know why.
Yeah. All right. Catch you next time. Bye. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to the Witchy Spellcast. We hope you enjoyed this mystical journey with us. If you've been bewitched by our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating or review. It helps us spread the magic to more listeners. Remember, the power of the craft is always with you. Keep those cauldrons bubbling, wands at the ready, and may your spells always find their mark. Until next time, blessed be.